97.5, The Fanatic.
This is your home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey.
Rebound is
this is Fanatic Flyers Weekly, only on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Fanatic Flyers Weekly here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Brian Smith. Flyers getting set to take on the Ottawa Senators today with a 1 p.m. puck drop. So we've got a lot of great stuff to take you into that game today as the Flyers look to start another winning streak, coming off a loss to the Arizona Coyotes the other night. A game there they played pretty well overall, but one of those nights in hockey where you run into a hot goaltender and you can't get much done against them. And that's what happened to the Flyers the other night. So they're going to try to get another one started tonight against an Ottawa team that beat them a couple weeks ago at the start of what was a pretty good stretch for Ottawa, but they've since had gone on a 5-game losing streak before taking care of the Edmonton Oilers the other night. So we'll have to see which Ottawa team we're going to see here today, as this team has certainly been hot and cold over the course of the season so far. We're going to get into that a little bit with the television voice from TSN. He'll be covering today's game for Ottawa, Gord Miller. He'll be joining us. We're also going to chat with former Flyers captain Dave Poulin, and another former Flyers captain, Eric Lindros, is going to be with us here on the show as we move on through the hour. But first up is Chris Therrien joining us from PhiladelphiaFlyers.com, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the media maven. Lots of stuff going on. Bundy, thanks for coming in today.
Great to be here, Brian.
And this is, again, an Ottawa team that a couple weeks ago was good all of a sudden again after a bad start to the season. Flyers had their struggles with them in that game back on the 15th.
They've had their struggles with this team for the last couple of years, yeah. 2 or 3 years. I remember Ottawa had I think last year going back to a home game here, I believe it was an afternoon game, the Flyers had a 3-1 lead heading into the third against Ottawa, and Ottawa ended up coming out of here with a 4-3 regulation win.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe one of the worst losses of the year for the Flyers last season. But a new year this year, Ottawa capitalized in a very, very solid game. They checked well at the game in Ottawa a couple weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks back. They'd strung together. They were really good for a stretch of time, one of the better teams in Eastern Conference for a span of games. But had lost 5 in a row, and then, as you just said, they clipped Edmonton's wings up in Western Canada a couple nights back. So, you know, I don't know. And it was funny. I saw Dave Poulin, and it was always good to see Poulin here, and he said the same thing. He goes, you know, this league goes streaking all the time. Someone will go win 5 in a row, then all of a sudden they lose a game, they lose 5 in a row. And that's why if you look at the standings, outside of a few teams, the Flyers right now being one of those teams that have a very good record of up and above 500 in a good spot. But for the most part, Brian, the win-loss column in regulation, the whole league's around 500.
Absolutely. It's really kind of interesting to see where the Flyers have risen over the course of what was a pretty hot month in November. They went from 22nd to 5th, and now it's just a matter of trying to stay there. And part of it, of course, was the goaltending. And that's what you were writing about this week in your Therrien's Take. It's a weekly column on PhiladelphiaFlyers.com every Friday. You can find it right there today at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. And it's a situation here in Philadelphia where there definitely is a bit of a tandem thing going on, but it's almost a different world than the time when the tandem was kind of coined, with most teams now going with two goaltenders most of the time. But Brian Elliott and Carter Hart kind of playing off each other seems to be working well at the moment.
It is, and you know what a luxury it is for Alain Vigneault and his staff to be able to rely on both guys. You know, you could, at this time of the year, you know, other than personal achievements and somebody maybe feeling good about their game, what an opportunistic time it is to be able to play two goaltenders and have confidence in the team doing that. And what I like, too, the important part about that is to have each of those goalies tugging on the other guy's string, really cheering for him. And that's part of the dynamic that we don't always see. You always think there's two goalies that get along together, and that's the way it should be. Trust me,
right.
It doesn't always happen that way. They may say they're good buddies and everything, and then the next thing you know, they're two guys that are competitive, and they really don't like each other. That is not the case here with Hart and Elliott. These guys really, really support each other. Obviously, one is the guy who's the mentor. The other one's the mentoree, in a sense of at least getting the lay of the land through the NHL and young Carter Hart. But it's been a good duo. It's really been the reason and the backbone of why the Flyers have had the start they've had this year. At least the month of November they had.
Now, you had a variety of tandems, as it turned out, over the course of your career. Some situations where the Flyers thought they were bringing in a guy that was going to be the number one and take the baton, if you will, and run with it. But it turned out to not be the case. Sometimes that was the plan, to go in with a couple of guys that were going to split the load. And you talked a little bit about that in the article this week. Some of the tandems worked better than others.
They did, I don't say the game's totally different, because it's really not that different, but in a sense, I think when you look back at those type of years, you know, as you said, there it was usually predicated, put it this way, nobody wants to have two goalies that are capable,
sure,
that you have to play half the time. Everybody wants a number one goalie and then have that feels confident, and then have a backup goalie that buys into to everything that's going on, supports the starter. But I just think now in the game, 82 games, there's been such an emphasis now on players getting rest that the backup goalie, if you have a qualified one, and Elliott certainly appeared to be that guy as they signed him in the offseason to be that guy again, he's done an absolutely unbelievable job in that role.
Chris Therrien joining us here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly as the Flyers get set to take on the Ottawa Senators here today at the Wells Fargo Center. Does it seem like the days of a 60-game starter are gone in this league?
Yep.
It seems more and more that you're seeing, you know, you still got the guys out there like Tuukka Rask and Henrik Lundqvist that are from that era, but even those guys seem to be finding themselves at a point in their career where they're starting to show a little bit of rust, a little bit of age, and again,
you're talking about 60 games, right? I remember when Lundqvist used to go, or Brodeur go 70 games, 72
absolutely.
Games, like, and he would basically tell the coach, here, this is what I'm doing. And I guess when you're Marty Brodeur or Patrick Roy, you can do that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Now there's just such a, you know, you hear the word load management all the time. Me and Dave Poulin were laughing a little bit about load management because, you know, I mean, part of it was at one time, whatever position you were, was actually, you know, feeling tired after a game and then going out grunting through practice. Now people talk about the 21-minute practice, you know. I don't know. I just think that is it's a thing. But I in terms of being able to have your players rested for as best optimal condition they can be in for the next game is really all that matters. But to have two goaltenders, Brian, and will erase such a disarray sometimes amongst your team. If you make a mistake, you know, great goaltending closes that gap where the coach isn't bearing down on you because the goalie bailed you out. It's just a totally different mindset, but really to have each guy playing as well as they are, what a gift that is right now.
Chris Therrien has all sorts of things for your partaking, if you will, covering the Flyers, the Therrien's Take that appears on Fridays. You've got your Bundy and Bill Real Deal podcast with Bill Meltzer on Flyers Podcast Central, which you can get at philadelphiaflyers.com every Wednesday. Anything else I'm missing? We got you here on the weekly.
Pre-intermission and post-game live. I join you, and I'm always around.
Yep.
You know what? It's great. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of obligations, but you know what? I love doing it. I love being able to still cover hockey and follow it around, and it's great stuff like this.
Well, we love having you. We'll let you get on the next thing. Chris Therrien joining us here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly.
Thanks, Brian.
You enjoy the road trip here, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, big one coming out. It's going to be an important trip, too, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Chris Therrien with us here on the program. We'll take our first break. When we come back in just a moment, we're going to hear from Eric Lindros, who is, of course, the Flyers captain through the years in the 90s, retired number here in Philadelphia, member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. He was in town taking care of some stuff over the last couple of days. We had a chance to catch up with him and see what he's doing and get his take on this current Flyers team. We'll have that coming up in just a moment as we continue here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back into Fanatic Flyers Weekly here on 97.5 The Fanatic as we get set for the Flyers and the Ottawa Senators coming up at the top of the hour. The Flyers looking to start another win streak after a five-game win streak came to an end against the Arizona Coyotes the other night. Last time the Flyers faced this Ottawa team up in Ottawa, they had a seven-game point streak going on, and that came to an end with that contest. So perhaps a little revenge on the mind of the Flyers tonight as they take on a Senators team that, again, had lost five in a row before defeating the mighty Edmonton Oilers the other night. So they've shown they know how to handle good teams. Flyers, I think, learned their lesson about this dangerous Ottawa club last time out. This weekend's programming here on 97.5 The Fanatic is brought to you by Commonwealth Charter Academy. Does the idea of your child returning to their classroom after winter break seem unthinkable? Well, Commonwealth Charter Academy can help. Visit ccaeducate.me. Well, the Flyers, again, of course, have a rich history going around, and a lot of times we see our alumni come back into town for various reasons. One of the guys that's here this weekend is Eric Lindros. He was in town over the last few days, and we were able to catch up with him a little bit and more or less find out what he's up to and take a little listen into what he's doing and what he thinks about the Flyers. When you're in a situation like when you're up in Toronto, you don't get to see a ton of U.S. based hockey. They put a lot of the Canadian teams on, but Eric has seen a little bit of the Flyers this year and chimed in a little bit on what this team was like. It was a very similar situation to back when he was playing here in Philadelphia. He came in here first couple of years, the team wasn't very good, missed the playoffs, and then there was a click in the 1994-95 season. That was the first shortened season due to an NHL lockout. That was one of those situations where the season started in January. It was a 48-game season, and the Flyers, of course, ended up in the Eastern Conference Final that year, and that just kind of started the momentum for this team throughout about the next 5 years through the rest of the 1990s. We got to sit down with Eric and chat with him a little bit about what clicked with that particular team and whether there's any similarities to what's going on right now.
It's a little bit similar situation to your first couple of years here where the team wasn't a playoff team, yes. And then all of a sudden things kind of clicked there, I guess, in that shortened season. What do you remember about that transition from the teams that were still struggling to the ones that kind of sparked that 90s success?
There's a couple of good things that happened. One, probably the best one, was the acquisition of Johnny and Eric Desjardins, mm-hmm. And Joe Berdian. That was a huge trade for us, and it just got things going. I think guys showed up in really good shape that from the summer. They were focused, they were organized, they were we were ready to go. We had a new coach, we had a new system. We were learning as we were going along, but we were having fun doing it. Mm-hmm. And there seemed to be a different spark. There was a good buzz, and then being able to acquire Johnny and Eric Desjardins, Joe Berdian in that trade, that was a big spark. And we signed Mac T.
Yep,
I believe was that same year. We had a veteran like him in there. We had good guys like Joel Otto. We had a deep team. Roddy Brindamore was always ready to go, and so it was just a matter of getting your pieces together, getting your structure together, and then going to the rink and having fun. And when you're having fun, we were learning, but we were enjoying it, and we were having success. And then once you get going, success it breeds success.
When we look back at the Flyers at this point of the season going into December, it's the most points since that 95-96
sneaky
team. Yeah,
you know, they're sneaky, and if you watch, like, I live in Toronto, and when you put on the sports, they've just been under the radar.
Yeah.
And it's been crazy. You see them just the Flyers are just creeping up and doing a great job. And it's not just a couple of guys, it's a group, and from the crease out, it's fantastic.
I'm guessing that start was probably a carryover from what you were talking about from the year before when that trade happened in that shortened season because of the lockout, and then the run to the conference final. It was just momentum that carried you back into that successful start.
I think so. You're having a good time, and things are starting to come together. We had a good team. I thought we had a real good team. We lost to Jersey in the semis in six. That was a real, we had a real good team there. Mm-hmm. We might have even had a better team than the team that we had that went to the Cup Finals. That was a real good group that year. So, things just started to go, and everyone was, there wasn't a whole lot of turnover.
Right.
Guys were getting to have, to know each other off the ice. The wives and girlfriends were getting to know one another, and all that adds up, when it's all said and done, familiarity and what to expect. And yeah, things are coming together.
What are your thoughts watching the current NHL compared to back then, when every game right now it's so close, the parity in this league is kind of crazy, and you know the Flyers are in a place right now where you know five of the best teams in their conference are all in the same division. The game is, I guess, tilted to that standpoint with salary caps and stuff now, where any team can beat any other one on a given
absolutely
night.
And it's amazing how certain teams go at it in one way and other teams spread it around. You look at Toronto, where they've got four or five of their top guys have probably 85% of the 80% of the salary, right? They go at it that way. Other teams spread it around and have a more balanced look on things. It's tough. A lot of overtime, right?
Yeah,
you see a lot of overtime. That's such a big thing. Being able to skate, being able to create in 3-on-3. There's just so much ice, and to be able to get back too.
Right.
I mean, that's it's not just the ability to score, but it's the ability to defend when you're tired and to be in the right spot at the right time and coming back and not turning in, being kind of in the middle of the ice just to hedge the bet on the position. So, it's a whole new world out there with the game the way it is and the rules that have changed and the way penalties are called it's exciting.
Flyers have a ton of young forwards right now that are just coming into the league, and I know you probably had a much bigger spotlight on yourself back then, but what do you remember about coming into the National Hockey League as an 18-year-old and kind of trying to find your way a little bit in a different game?
You know, it's trial and error. Yeah. I remember, my first year going into new arenas. They're all new arenas to me, right? Different hotels. The team didn't hop on a plane and go. We were, sitting there with US Air and working your way. If you had a West Coast trip, spending a lot of time in a Minnesota or Chicago airport, making your way across the country and across the continent. So it's all different. It was great. I wouldn't change it. I got to see both sides of it.
Yeah.
I got to see everyone had a roommate back then. You get hooked up with a veteran. I learned a lot from the ones I was with, Keith Acton, Dave Brown, just fantastic guys. Kevin Dineen, having him around on the team was not only was he a big contributor to our team on the ice, but amazing off the ice. He's just a great, great person, and we were blessed to have him here.
So what are you up to these days? What's the family
we
now?
We got lots going on. Yeah, yeah. Now we're killing it at the kindergarten level. We got one in senior kindergarten, two in JK, and everyone skates. Everyone's playing. They call it Tim Hortons. Timbits hockey up there. Where it's they go out and they do a bunch of drills and. Then they have a little learned skate program too. So, no, that part's been fun. Carl was doing some soccer, basketball. Basketball's been big. With the Raptors having their run, that was exciting. A lot of the young kids. We're revamping the park in our neighborhood, and making sure there wasn't a hoop in there. I mean, it was crazy. And now everything is. If we're going to put in some skating areas. Let's get make a multi-purpose facility so you can skate in the winter, and then there's basketball and there's tennis courts and other things in the for different times of the year. So no, it's been good. We've we just finished off our Easter Seals event the weekend, the Thursday, Friday before Hall of Fame weekend, and had another great event. We're creeping in on $2.5 million and doing well with it in terms of what we're spending. I think we're running it at about 80%. So every dollar that comes in, 80% of it is getting to the charity. So we're keeping our costs. Yeah, we've got a lot of fixed costs, and we've got a lot of nice guys that donate their time and come out and play. So it's really quite fun. We have a draft night on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. Johnny drives up from Philly. He comes. He's a big draw to this event. Adam Graves is there. Doug Gilmore. Mm-hmm. There's a big list of guys that used to play. And then we had 16 teams this year. And whoever raises the most money gets your draft pick is based on how much money your team has raised. And then the following day, so you hang out with the guy that you draft, and everyone gets to know one another a little bit. And then the next day, you go and play 3 or 4 games, and have lunch, and we kind of take over the arena and have an all-star game at the end for guys that raise the most amount of money with all the former players. So yeah, it's good. It's good. It's fun, and the hockey's not great, but there's actually about like a couple guys that come up from Philadelphia. There's a bunch that came up from San Jose this year. That'd be great if more guys from Philly would come on up to it. It's for Easter Seals, and you just Google Eric Lindros Easter Seals, and Coralie has got her number up there to answer any questions.
Okay, and you've been doing some work on the concussion field too, and stuff.
Yeah,
we've
we've been making some headway. Provincially, it's gotten better. It's called Rowan's Law. We've started to implement a lot of our. A lot of the law, it's coming to practice, but really it's about letting people know what to expect, what to do. So Rowan's Law is really about looking out for one another, and we decided to work from the grassroots up and to take advantage of the classroom, having awareness through the classroom, having a brain day, a Rowan's Law day, teachers taking 45 minutes out of the class schedule to talk about concussion, to talk about looking out for other kids, playing safe, and not needing to be a hero out there. You've got one brain, you can't exactly go to Kijiji and go get yourself something at all. It's scary. So we want to make sure that we don't want kids to sit on the couch and not play sport. And by the way, most concussions occur outside of sport. Mm-hmm. More than 50% do. It's more the greater population than everyone just keeps associating with sport. So just awareness about that, looking out for your teammates, looking out for your opponents. And let's when they do occur, let's take care of them. Let's get on it right away. And the faster we start to take care of things, you're going to take out the possibility of second impact syndrome, which is what happened to Rowan Stringer. She was playing, which is what the law is named after. She was playing rugby as a 17-year-old in Ottawa. And she went back out and played, not knowing, and went into a coma and passed. Okay. It's about awareness. It's about taking care of each other. And when they do occur, and they will occur from time to time when you're playing sport and otherwise. But here are some tips and what to do and some practice to get back to being yourself.
That's Eric Lindros joining us earlier here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly as he talked a little bit about what he's seen with this team this year. And again, some of the similarities between his teams and this one here. The Flyers are head into December with the most points that they'd had since the 1995-96 team. And that was the first full season after the Flyers really started to click with Eric Lindros in the lineup. And of course, never actually got to a Stanley Cup during that era, but a bunch of really good teams there. And that's the kind of model that the Flyers are hoping to get back to right now with this young nucleus and see if they can't get into cup contention over the course of the next few years. Well, we got the Rivers Casino areas here at the Wells Fargo Center, the new Rivers Casino Sportsbook up on our new balcony level, the Assembly Room, which is a great new space here at the Wells Fargo Center. Tomorrow you can join Tyrone Johnson and Pat Egan, though, at The Real Place, their special Green Zone broadcast live from the new Rivers Casino tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Tyrone and Pat will be broadcasting from the casino's beautiful new studio located right underneath their giant sportsbook screens. Rivers Casino was formerly Sugar House Casino, located on 1001 North Delaware Avenue. And the Rivers Casino is, of course, the title sponsor of your BetRivers.com Flyers Radio Network. We're going to take another break here on this edition of Fanatic Flyers Weekly. When we come back in just a moment, a couple of folks joining us here a little bit earlier on that will bring you our conversations with Gordon Miller from TSN, and also works for NBC Sports Network in the States. He is really plugged into the hockey community, especially up in Canada. We talked with him a little bit about what he's seen from the Flyers and about this Ottawa Senators team. We'll have that for you coming up. We also had a chat with former Flyers captain Dave Poulin, who's also on the Senators broadcast today. And, of course, he was the captain of the team through those very successful years in the 1980s. And one of the other very good Novembers the Flyers had on the in the standings was not a great November at all for the organization in general, and that was the year that Pelle Lindbergh passed away. But the Flyers this past November tied the record that that team was part of for most points in the month of November. So we talked with Dave a little bit about that particular month and how the Flyers got through it so successfully. We'll have that conversation coming up in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Fanatic Flyers Weekly here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into Fanatic Flyers Weekly here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Brian Smith. Thanks very much for joining us today as the Flyers get ready for the Ottawa Senators here in about 20 minutes or so. Flyers wrapping up a three-game homestand today, and with this game, they'll finish a stretch where they played 19 games in 36 and a half days, and that half comes from the 1 p.m. start today. This has been about as jam-packed a schedule as you can get for about the last 5 weeks now for this team, and they're going to get their first three-day break here since they came back from the Czech Republic. That was the last time the Flyers had more than 2 days off in a row, and they'll have three now after this one today. They're going to resume their schedule with a three-game road trip next week that will start in Colorado against the Avalanche next Wednesday night. So they'll get a much-deserved rest, and then they're actually going to get a couple days off after that one as well before going into a back-to-back next weekend. But the Flyers are in a good place right now. They have a whole lot of people around them in their division that are at the top of the NHL standings, and right now it's just a matter of staying with it. A guy that gets to see a lot of other teams in his main role with as a play-by-play broadcaster for TSN in Canada is Gordon Miller, who's here today to cover the game for the Ottawa Senators telecast, and he gets to see Toronto, gets to see all the Canadian teams, also does some work for NBC Sports Network, and he's seen the Flyers four times this year, and really likes what he sees because he looks at the schedule and says that that October, with all that travel, it didn't really matter.
I think you got to throw October out for Philadelphia. The schedule they had, you know, going to Prague, coming home for one, going west. From November 1st on, they look like a legit team to me. They, you know, Provorov looks like the guy we saw 2 years ago. Carter Hart's been terrific in goal, especially here at home. They've got depth up front. You know, the Flyers have drafted so well over the years. And you just see the effect of it when you see, you know, obviously the base of Couturier and Giroux and Provorov, but then you see the guys coming behind them. I think this is a legit team, and I think that, you know, I think, you know, knock on wood for them, that the goaltending questions may finally be behind them.
I know you've probably known Alain Vigneault a lot more over the years than a lot of folks here. We're still maybe trying to get to know him a little bit. What have you seen from this team that might be a vintage Vigneault trait or something like that? And, I'm sure you're probably not surprised to see him having success here.
No, I'm not. I think there's two things about Alain Vigneault that stand out. One is structurally, the way his teams play. They don't give up a lot. So you see, in conjunction with the Flyers' improved play and goal is they're giving up a lot fewer scoring chances, giving up a lot fewer shots. So that's one part of the equation. I think that the big part of him is his personality and just how even-keeled he is. I think the great thing about Alain Vigneault is when things are great or when things are bad, he's kind of the same. And he's not going to be a guy who's going to be a screamer and a yeller. He's not going to be a guy who's going to crack the whip. He treats men like men. And there's a structure that you have to stay within, for sure. But I think he allows players to do what they do best while holding them accountable. And that's a real fine balance. It's hard to do in the NHL. And I think the reason he's been successful is he's always been that way. And I think at a time when people are talking about, coaching methods and especially from the past, I think Vigneault's always been that way. He's always been a guy. I don't think you'll hear players saying that, Alain Vigneault mistreated me. Kevin Hayes will tell you, he certainly, he didn't make it an easy road for him in terms of his expectations of him and the responsibilities he had for him. But I think that the way he deals with players is probably his greatest strength.
With the two other guys on the bench with him that came in with him, and Michelle Therrien and Mike Yale, both former head coaches, again, guys that I'm sure you've come across in your career. What were your thoughts when you saw that bench kind of form over the summer? And it's like, wow, these guys have 2,500 games back there. It's something that we don't normally see in the National Hockey League, but so far these guys have been working together really well.
Right, and Ottawa's got the same thing, right, with all three guys on the bench are either current, obviously in the case of D.J. Smith, a current head coach, but both assistants are former head coaches. I think it lends a lot. I think, the balance the Flyers have with their group, because Therrien's fiery. Michelle Therrien is a fiery, emotional guy. You've got two low-key guys in Mike Yeo and Alain Vigneault. And then you've got Ian LaPerriere, who keeps it light at just the right time. I think it's a great mix for them. But I think you're seeing more of that where teams, where head coaches are delegating more and more, right? Like you'll see during, a timeout late in the game where the head coach isn't diagramming the play, right? Lets the assistants do it.
When you look at you mentioned the goaltending situation, a guy like Carter Hart that's, basically the youngest regular goaltender the Flyers have ever had. I know you saw a lot of him in his junior career. What were some of the things that stood out about him back then that you find making him a good NHL goaltender now?
Well, the old joke is you need a good glove hand and a bad memory. And I think his ability to just park, if something bad happens, just park it. Like we saw it the other night. I was here the other night when Philadelphia played Toronto. And he had that strange shot go off his arm, up in the air, and drop in behind him. But then he played great in the third period. He didn't let a bad goal become a bad period, become a bad game. And I think his personality, his competitiveness, his confidence will be his strength. He's obviously athletically a tremendous goaltender. I mean, he's got the size, reflexes, the technical ability to be a really good goaltender, but I think he has the personality to be a great goaltender.
What does Philadelphia need to do to play with the Washingtons and the Bostons and the St. Louis's of the league here moving forward? Obviously, they've gotten to the point where they're there at the moment, but they've got to maintain it now over the rest of the season. What's some of the keys to playing with those guys?
It's a great question. I think the biggest thing for me for Philadelphia will be depth. They need to get scoring throughout their lineup, production throughout their lineup, and that's the strength of Boston, right? I mean, obviously that big line is productive, but they get more behind that now. And I think also production from their blue line. If the Flyers can get lots of goals from their defense, Provorov, Gostis Bear has shown some flashes lately after being a healthy scratch, I think that's a big thing for them. I think Washington's the best team in the Eastern Conference, and Boston's right behind them. I don't know if Philadelphia is that much further back. The goaltending is Washington has more proven goaltending, but, Braden Holtby's had ups and downs. Boston's more proven in goal, but Tuukka Rask has had ups and downs. So I don't know that it's a mismatching goal just because Philadelphia, because Carter Hart's not as experienced. And obviously Brian Elliott is a very good, capable veteran. I think Philadelphia's right there. I you know, in a cap league now, Brian, you're not going to be measurably better than everyone else. And you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. You keep thinking, well, they're going to come on here at some point. Well, don't leave it too late.
Yeah.
You know, don't leave it too long. And so I think Philadelphia's right there. And I think the best news for the Flyers and their fans is that there's a chance for this team to sustain this for a long period of time. The way their contracts are set up, the way the young players are coming in, a guy like Morgan Frost, you know, they're set up to be good for a long time.
That's Gord Miller from TSN joining us here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly. And right after we had a chance to chat with Gord, we talked with former Flyers captain Dave Poulin, who's also here for the Ottawa broadcast today on TSN up in Canada. And he was talking a little bit about this team and how he likes at this point the way that it's built.
I think it's all about the pieces that are in place. And, you know, you add a couple of pieces and that increases the value of the guys that are there. And there's better chemistry, it seems like. And it seems like everybody's operating on the same page. Coaches have done a great job. I mean, they've stepped in and done a great job. A new staff, a real veteran staff, obviously. But, you know, we're watching the game change in front of us. We're watching young players come in and have a much greater impact much earlier. And it used to be the young guys that had to adjust to the older guys. I think now it's more about the older guys having to adjust to the younger guys, you know, whether that's societal or whatever it is. But, you know, you get some pretty veteran hockey players on this team. You take a guy like Claude Giroux, who's had a couple of monster years in a row, and probably says, well, you know what? I'm willing to settle for a few less points individually and a few more wins as a team. And sometimes that's a little bit of a role change, and it might mean a positional change. And so it's up to them as leaders of the team to really define it. And it is about team. I think that's what it's about. It's not about having great individuals. And, you know, I think they've done an excellent job of drafting here for the last handful of years. And now some of those fruits are coming to bear.
So this team had 24 points in the month of November. That tied a franchise record. One of the other ones that did it was the 85-86 team, which probably at the same time might have been one of the best and worst months in the franchise's history with the death of Pelle Lindbergh. What do you recall about that month and just obviously how the team was able to continue winning even though they were dealing with such a great loss at that time?
You know, Brian, I thought it was one of Mike Keenan's best times as a coach in my 4 years with him. Now, he was able to keep that team together through that time. And principally, it was about making us talk and making us communicate with each other, and something most of us had never gone through. You know, most of us were so young, we'd never had a death in the family of any sort, grandparents or anything. And it was such a shock to all of us. We knew we were a good team. Obviously, we'd been to the finals the year before, but we also knew what a big part of it Pelle Lindbergh was, both on and off the ice. And, you know, I was thinking back to those years because I noted the home record this year, you know, 9-2-4, an excellent home record. And the year, I believe the year before that, we were 32-4-4 at home. And the next year, we were 33-6-1. We lost 10 games at home in 2 years. And that home-building dominance that the Flyers are enjoying now was something that we made it a hard place to play. And, you know, we used to drive to the rinks with smiles on our faces because we thought we were going to win. And that was a team that had very high expectations and still an excellent hockey team. And I think the emotion of that month and getting through that month is probably what drew an early end to that season.
Certainly not to make a direct comparison to Carter Hart, but he is one of the few young goaltenders to come along with a lot of promise like Pelle had, like Ron Hextall had, and a couple others over the years. What have you seen from him, I guess, both in his junior career up in Canada and now here in the NHL that has impressed you over that time?
Well, a lot of poise and a lot of presence, and we've talked about young players and coming into the league and how confident they are. But I think one of the things that Carter Hart has is hockey sense. And I don't think people talk about hockey sense enough with a goaltender. And, you know, they talk about raw tools and they talk about stoppability and all those things. And he understands the game. He sees the game well. He reads the game well. You can see on cross ice, you know, seams are so important now, particularly in the power play. And the hard cross seam pass and one-timer is such a dominant option on power plays. And he reads that as it's happening. He knows where the players are on the ice. He knows who the players are on the ice. That's only going to get better with time, but it's very impressive for a young goalie.
Dave Poulin joining us here on Fanatic Flyers Weekly. Our thanks to him, to Gord Miller, to Eric Lindros and to Chris Terry and all for joining us on this edition of the program. And also our thanks to Josh Rabick for producing back at the station. Betsy Demings, our engineer here at the Wells Fargo Center. That's going to do it for this edition of Fanatic Flyers Weekly. I'm Brian Smith. When we come back in just a moment, we'll get you into our Fanatic Flyers pregame show as the Flyers get set to take on the Ottawa Senators today here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.